Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Christian Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Steph Thurling. I'm the Executive Director of Christian Parenting, a mom of three, and I am so glad that you're here. This is a place where you can bring your real self, no matter what that looks like today, and be given the space, resources, and encouragement you need to set aside perfection and grow into the perfectly imperfect parent God made you to be. Know as a mom, it is so easy to put everybody else's needs ahead of yours. And I know this because I do it too. But when hormonal changes start to take a toll on your body, it is definitely time to start taking care of you. Hormone health is so much more than just a few symptoms. It affects everything from your moods, your energy levels, to how you cope with stress. If you're a woman, you know how easily hormones can get out of balance, especially with all the daily stresses of life. And when that happens, it can feel like everything else is off too. But what if there is a simple habit that you could add to your routine that could make a huge difference? That's where Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth comes in. Happy Mammoth, the company that started Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, especially moms. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. The results are so impressive, you guys. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website, and women cannot stop talking about it on social media and in real life too. I know so many people who use Hormone Harmony and absolutely love it. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CPPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CPPODCAST for 15% off today. Hey friends, thank you so much for joining me today. I am so excited to be with Carrie Kampakis. We are going to talk all about girls, especially raising kind girls who value relationship and love Jesus. So Carrie is the author of 4 books. She has 2 for moms and then 2 for teen girls. And she has 4 girls herself. So she is a girl expert, or although she would call herself a girl resource. And she is such an encouragement. I could really listen to her all day long. And I know that I'd walk away with a full heart. But today, Carrie and I cover some of the messaging that girls receive and then how we can change that messaging. We talk about how to raise kind daughters, the importance of speaking truth over our girls, how to navigate friendships, and Carrie reminds us that it all goes back to Jesus. So I hope that you love this conversation. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to the Christian Parenting Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Stephanie.
Yeah, I'm super excited. So we are going to talk all about girls today. And I think, so I have 2 boys and a girl. And I think that people are so funny because I had my 2 boys first. And then I swear within days of having my daughter, people were like, aren't girls so different than boys? And I was like, she's an infant. They're all the same.
That's right.
But, you know, like, but literally right away, people were asking me. And then she grew up and she's super different from her brothers in so many ways. But then they're the same too, because they're all kids. So we're going to talk all about girls today specifically and what makes them special and how we can raise them well. And you're kind of the girl expert. So I want to talk about your girls first. Because you have 4 of them. So can you tell us about your family? Like, who's in it? Tell us about your daughters and then describe them in a word or a phrase.
Okay. I have 4 daughters, and living here in the South, I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. That's usually where I get the bless your heart, honey. I feel so bad for you. And it's not as dramatic in our home as everybody thinks it is. And I honestly would take more girls. Like, I love girls. I was not sad for 1 second with each pregnancy when I found out I was having another daughter. So I don't know. I grew up with 4 sisters, or 3 sisters, excuse me, and a brother. And I've always loved my friends. I've just always been immersed in the girl world. So I feel like God was always preparing my heart for the work that I would do too. And I do love that what I do for a living, I'm also parallel with what I'm doing at home too. So that's been fun. We're in a different season now. So my oldest daughter's 20. She's out of the teenage years, which is so strange. She's a sophomore at Auburn. And then I have a high school senior who's going to Alabama next year, a high school sophomore, and then a 7th grader. So 3 teenage girls, 1 young adult. I've been doing it about 20 years. Mm-hmm. I've been writing books for about 10 years. And so it's interesting. I've been doing social media during that time too. And I've written two books for teen girls and then two books for moms. And so when I started writing, most of my audience was moms my age, my peer group. And I'm still writing for that audience. That's why I have such a passion writing about teenagers and launching kids and going to college and that season of life. That's really where my heart is right now. But it's very interesting because a lot of my newest followers, probably my biggest, fastest growing group of new followers is young moms. And it's interesting. They're so hungry just for, they want advice and insight on what's coming, what's ahead. And so that's really one of my passions is just to share my mistakes, share what I've learned. You know, I don't consider myself an expert. I consider myself a resource because I'm just like every other mom. I mess up all the time. But I have learned that God's grace works with all of it. I've been doing it long enough and I've seen that my failures have not ruined my kids, you know, and you don't know that when you're a young mom. You feel like every mistake is going to just set them off track. And so anyway, I love daughters. I love encouraging moms to love their daughters well. And if I had to describe our family in one word, I have to steal a word from my husband's playbook. We did a family game several years ago. It was a family vacation. And that was one of the questions on there is describe your family in a word. And he said, estrogen. So <That's fair. laughs> that was a good word. Yeah. Even our dog is female. So we have a lot of estrogen in our family.
That's really funny. When I was growing up, I told you before, I have two sisters. And then we got a girl dog. And everyone kind of laughed at my dad. And they were like, you couldn't even get a boy dog.
I know.
So yeah, you're a girl home. And yes. I love that you speak so highly of your daughters now. I kind of told you this before we started recording, but one thing I love about following you is that you speak about each stage of parenting being really good. And so yes. I love that you have a growing following of younger moms because you can speak so much truth to where they have been and where you are now. And I think that's just really beautiful and so needed, especially in our world today. So the other thing that I asked my guests, and I would love for you to speak to those younger moms, what is one thing that you want every parent to know?
I would want every parent to know that you don't have to be perfect. And like I said, I think that we come into motherhood, a lot of us are perfectionists by nature. We've just been shaped by culture to be perfectionists. And I just remember even with my first child, I was like, I don't want to ever make a mistake. I don't ever want her to be sad. I don't ever want her to suffer. And you really think that is possible. And like I said, I mean, we're like the Velveteen Rabbit by this point. You know, you've been doing it 20 years. We have had so many ups and downs. I've been through, you know, a lot with them. I've just seen a lot with my friends and the work that I do. And, you know, I just, the longer I do it, you just realize God's grace and God is so good. And truly, when we're parenting with Him and when we're leaning into our faith, and even if we do make mistakes or have a big mom fail, if we give it to Him, ask Him to bring good from it and just keep praying and asking for guidance and obeying Him, like He really will, He can bring good from all of it. Like He truly can. And it's just, it's so much more of a freeing way to parent and to live that way. And to find the joy in your parenting and not be stuck in anxiety and worry and fear. But it's a battle. I mean, you know, I don't think we're naturally going to take that joyful route and that natural route of seeing the good in our children, even when their rooms are messy or they talk back to us and we're having to correct them. Like, it's really hard not to go, as my friend calls it, the bitter barn, to not go into the bitter barn. But it's a fight. And I really feel like that's one of my biggest callings right now is just helping remind moms to just see the good, to walk in the light and just to fight for that because it's worth it.
Yeah, that is a good word. And I love that, the bitter barn. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to ask myself constantly, am I walking into the bitter barn and how do I turn around? That's good. Yeah. I like a good visual like that. Mm-hmm. 20 years of parenting girls. Like, I would love to know, what have you found to be unexpected about parenting girls?
Unexpected, like what have I been surprised by?
Yeah.
Oh goodness. You know, probably how quickly things can change. Like that's really the thing. And this is in a lot of ways. So you're in an argument and you think it's going to last forever. But if you go apologize, if you make amends, like they forgive you, like, you know, they really can move past it. Like you can really make changes in your relationship or just the seasons. I mean, I remember so many things, and you probably can relate to this, that your child's last time of doing it, you have no idea it's their last time. And you're like, I would have taken a picture or taken a moment to just really appreciate that. Yeah. And it might be something so simple like your daughter wearing a hair bow, and then all of a sudden you're doing a hair for church. She's refuses to wear a hair bow ever again. And you're like, well, I didn't know that that was coming to an end. Like it all can change so quickly. And that's kind of how the seasons change. Like you don't even realize they're growing up, but it's these little things. Or, you know, all of a sudden they're in fifth grade or sixth grade and they don't want to dress up for Halloween that year. And I just remember my oldest daughter when they did that. And then a few years later, they started dressing up again. But you're just like, I'm not ready for this. And so things change. And so if you're in a hard season or a bad season, it's going to change. You know, it feels like that's forever. And I think that's where moms get stuck is in this, that, you know, that place, like it's never going to get better than this. And that's so not true. And that's not from God. And so again, it really is a fight, just like asking ourselves, okay, what is God trying to tell me in this situation? And what's the story I'm telling myself that's not true? Or maybe how's the enemy working on me in this situation? But I'm just a big believer, like my parenting motto is that God created us to parent with a spirit of strength and not defeat. Mm-hmm. And I see so many moms today just stuck in that place of defeat, whether it's guilt or shame or comparison or thinking they've messed it all up or they're not equipped to raise their kids. And I'm like, God chose each one of us for our children. We're the perfect, imperfect person to raise them. I just firmly believe that. And we need God. You know, we can't do it on our own. We need God and we need our village of moms who have that like-minded heart and like-minded mindset that we can help each other along the way.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I feel like you're just speaking to my heart right now. And it's so encouraging. I just need you to keep talking forever. This is really good. Thank you. But I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. And we had mentioned, I feel like a lot of your followers are really resonating right now with when you're talking about girls and friendships and mean girls and some of the messaging that we hear around girls. So I wanted to bring our conversation there today. I think we all have experience with mean girls. And I think it's starting with the movie Mean Girls, right? And there's almost this societal expectation that girls are mean and that's just how they are. Like boys will be boys, girls will be mean. And I hate that messaging on both sides. So I kind of want to start there. Like, what is the message that girls are getting about themselves? And then as parents or aunts and uncles, teachers, youth leaders, whoever we are in a girl's life, like, what can we replace that message with?
Yes. You know, I think it's all about perspective. And I say this, I do this a lot of talks for girls. And, you know, sometimes we talk about friendship. And, you know, the fact is some girls are mean, like meaner than a rattlesnake, right? And some boys are mean. And I hear stories about in the boy world that's even worse than the girl stuff, you know? So my big point is it's not a girl problem. It's not a gender problem. It's a cultural problem. And one of my big messages to parents too is we truly are raising kids in a time that is darker and meaner and a lot more complicated than the world that shaped us. Like that's the world that's shaping our kids. And they've got to fight it too. You know, they're going to go with the flow, then they might fall into that mean behavior too. But, you know, I think it's a fight. And I've never liked that cliche because, you know, you truly find what you're looking for in this world. And one story that always stuck with me was a friend of mine several years ago said that she, as an adult, has really had a hard time trusting women. She goes, I have a hard time with friendship. I keep a guard up because when she was younger and somebody hurt her feelings or something happened, her mom was always like, you know, girls are mean. She's just jealous of you. All those things. I call it the low-hanging fruit because your daughter comes home devastated. You don't think it's going to happen to you, but it happens somewhere along the way, you know, so don't be surprised. Comes home devastated. A lot of times it was a good friend. You're friends with the mom. It's an awkward situation. And so, but she's so hurt. Somebody did something blatantly mean, whether they realized it or not. And, you know, sometimes we just pull that low-hanging fruit off the tree and say, girls are mean. But I've never liked it because, for one, I'm like, when I tell them, you know, when I'm talking to girls, if I say girls are mean, I'm saying, I am mean, you're mean, we're all mean, there's no hope for any of us. And so to me, that just doesn't serve any good. It's like saying all guys are jerks. And that's not true. There are some good guys out there. Now you got to be discerning and you have to be able to have that ability to choose the good ones from the not so good ones. But I think the better thing is just to empathize, you know, instead of going straight to the girls are mean. I have a friend that says we would never tell our daughters girls are bad at math, right? And that's the same thing when we say girls are mean, it's the same kind of cliche. So we don't want to give them that stereotype. And I always think back to the movie, The Help. I don't know if you watched that movie, but what is it that Abigail would, or is it Abilene, I think was the name of the
Yeah. Yeah,
the caregiver. And she would tell the little girls, you is kind, you as smart, you as important. And she was just drilling that into that little girl. And now that I've been parenting 20 years, I get it. You know, you are giving your children a vision of who they want to be and the vision of who they're going to, what kind of person they're going to be and what kind of life they want to walk into. So when she's telling that little girl, you as kind, so that girl 2 years later is mean to a friend at school and she comes home and the caregiver can tell her, like, I heard you did this. That is not who you are. You are a kind person. That was an unkind act, right? You did. And I think that's the better way to parent, is to say, that's not who you are. That's not who God created you to be. And as we all know, a lot of times when somebody is mean, there's something going on in their life that explains it. And sometimes we have bad days and we're in a culture of like, my daughter says this, we want to do a college panel for high school girls. I'm going to talk to the moms and she wants to do one on friendship. And it'll be kind of like, not everybody's toxic, because we live in this age where everybody's toxic and everybody's written off. But you know, if we don't ever show grace to anybody, if we don't ever allow room for people to grow and to forgive and to form these friendships, then we're going to end up with no relationships. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. And so I just think God is really calling us to higher ground and to really not act on those knee-jerk reactions, but to acknowledge that we do live in a mean world. Some people are very mean. They can't be trusted. But, you know, if you've ever had a good friendship, I've had so many great friendships. My daughters have had great friendships. I'm like, I would never sacrifice those friendships and give up on girls completely because of the bad experiences they've had.
Hey guys, I'm really excited to tell you about two new Bibles from Zondervan that will help you connect with your identity in Christ. The first was created just for women and draws on the truth of Scripture. Flourish, the NIV Bible for women, will strengthen women with insights and encouragement for the issues they face every day. And there's also Rooted, the NIV Bible for men. And this focuses on godly character and faithful living as it highlights timeless virtues that are still valued today. I love a Bible just for women and one just for men too. Each of these Bibles include articles that expose commonly accepted myths of our culture. Things like misconceptions about love, relationships, God, fulfillment, faith, and identity, and they refute them with God's word. They also share profiles of men and women of the Bible. They cover the attributes of God and provide questions for growth. Together, Rooted and Flourish offer the knowledge, strength, and clarity you need to navigate life's challenges with Scripture as your guide. Find out more and order your copy at amazon.com/flourishandrooted. Again, that's amazon.com/flourishandrooted. All right, for all the moms listening out there, you know how challenging raising kids can be. Amid the tantrums, the tears, and the total meltdowns, do you ever find yourself drained or discouraged or maybe even resentful? You are not alone in those feelings. Mom of 10, Abby Halberstadt, wants to help you navigate the daily difficulties of motherhood in her new book, Hard is Not the Same Thing as Bad. When you start to see your everyday challenges as part of God's plan for you to grow into the person He's creating you to be, you'll discover grace, purpose, and hope, even when you're down in the deepest trenches of motherhood. Yes, the hard of motherhood is real, but so is the hope. You can find Hard is Not the Same Thing as Bad wherever books are sold or learn more at msformama.net. Yeah. And I love your reminder to speak truth over our girls, because we have such a beautiful opportunity to do that as parents. Like, we can do that into their lives every day, so we can give them that reminder that of who God made them to be, because all of the messages that they hear, they play into how our girls view themselves and how they view others. And then that impacts how they treat others. And we hear stories all the time, like you're saying, of girl-on-girl bullying. And sometimes our girls are the victims of it. They don't get invited to the birthday party, or they get excluded at school, or someone says something mean on the internet, you know, all those things. But then sometimes our girls are also the ones who are mean. And both are really hard. And it's concerning how early it starts, too. Like, my daughter is only 7, but sometimes she says really mean things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because young kids, they're experimenting with words and emotions. Right. They're trying to figure out, like, what all that means. And then you move into tweens and teens. So this is really for every age and stage. But when it comes to my daughter, I just want her to be kind. Yes. And I want her friends to be kind. So what do you think that we can do to raise kind girls in this culture that is not kind, like you're talking about?
Yeah, I think that stories and examples, I mean, my big thing with parents is you can't just say, be kind. Like, they don't, you know, that's not what they're going to remember them in a situation. You've got to give them examples and stories. Like, people remember stories. And so when you're saying be kind, so, you know, say, okay, if there's somebody sitting by themselves at lunch, invite them to sit with you. And if they say, oh no, she likes to sit by herself. You know, I've heard a child say that before. I'm like, nobody likes to sit by themselves. I mean, they might act like it because they're playing it off, but they would appreciate the invitation. And even if they don't say, if they don't do it, they're still honored and they're still glad that you asked. And so it's always better to err on that side. And so I think just examples of what kindness looks like, or, you know, say you lashed out at a friend or said something ugly, you know, teaching them to go back and circle back around and apologize and make it right. But you were talking about, you know, we all want our kids to be kind. We do. And if anybody that I think has more than one child, you see that they're all wired differently. They all have different strengths. And so like in our house, I have children who are very sensitive and they're very empathetic by nature. And they just have this, they had a social filter. They were just born with it. They didn't need a ton of guidance, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I also had a daughter, but she's tough as nails. And I'm thankful that, you know, God made her that way too. And so, and she's great now, but when she was little, she would just blurt out every thought that came to mind. And she wasn't trying to be mean, but we had to have so many conversations. And this is where the sibling relationships came into play, because sometimes she'd make her sister cry. And her sister was really overly sensitive. So I had to help her toughen up, you know, like, I'm like, I love your tender heart, but you got to have a thick skin. You know, I knew the world would crush her because she was so sensitive. But I would tell the other one, like, you know, think it or say it. That was one of our filters. You know, should you think that or say that? That might not hurt your feelings because you're tough and you're strong, but that's going to hurt somebody else's feelings. And so they don't understand that. And that's why God has put us in these children's lives, is to see, you know, we know as moms what their strengths and their weaknesses are. And God wired them that way. Instead of just, you know, writing them off as a bad kid or they're not kind, just saying like they've got other strengths that are going to prepare them for whatever God has planned. And then if we can, you know, nurture and cultivate these other strengths that we'd like to see in them, like character, the kindness and gentleness, and really it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And just really, you know, talking about how it's just the work of the Lord that's in us that even enables us to be kind. And that's one thing I see in my work. I actually spoke on it recently, that doing the work that I do, I've realized that, you know, moms and everybody's so hungry for messages about kindness and compassion and empathy. Like, we all want children who are that way. We all want the world to be that way. But because we're living in a post-Christian world, a lot of people don't want the Jesus part of that message. And so, you know, I'm like, I can't leave it out as a writer, because I know personally, I cannot be kind. That is not my knee-jerk reaction. Without Jesus in my heart, you know, without the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we are not capable of being kind, compassionate, empathetic people. And so really any good that comes out of us is because of God's work in our heart and our life. And so really with our children, we've just got to pray for their heart to be open to Him and for the Holy Spirit to work through them, because we can't control everything, but He does hear our prayers. And I think that's one of the most important prayers we can pray for our children.
Yeah. I love that, think it or say it. I just wrote that down because I want to remind it. I feel like that's a really easy thing to say to kids that they can, you know, figure out. Because sometimes I feel like as parents, we struggle with how do we explain that they can't say something, you know? So that's a good one.
And it really becomes something like, to me, when you can learn and they'll grow up and they say, oh, I'm not going to say it. And you're like, great. Like, you are maturing. Like, you see those lessons kicking in, and it's so rewarding. And you realize this is what we're here for, is to teach them these things. Like, man, 5 years ago, you would have just blurted that right out. But
Yeah, that's cool. So when you and your girls or people that you talk to or see, when people are struggling with friendships, when we have our daughters who are kind of just struggling, like maybe their friends are being mean or they're just having doubts, thinking, maybe my friends are not making the best choices or they're being excluded. Like, how do you help girls navigate friendships that are difficult? And how do you help them find real friends who are going to be kind and can be a healthy relationship?
Yeah. You know, I always go back to faith, but to me, I think what we have to remember, especially in raising daughters, is that we all idolize something. You know, we were created to worship. And so if we don't have Jesus on that pedestal, then we're going to put other things on that pedestal. And so for girls, what they tend to put on that pedestal is friendship, is they tend to make an idol of their friends. And that's why they're so crushed and devastated when their friends are human and they make mistakes and all that. So to me, I think the starting point is just really rooting. When I have grandchildren, this is what I'm doing, like root them in their identity in Christ. Mm-hmm. Just teach them God's truth, like give them that foundation to stand on. Because what you realize as they grow up is that everything in their life is subject to change. And if they don't have some kind of sturdy foundation to stand on, if when the carpet gets ripped out from under them, then they are devastated. And so I'm a big believer with conversations with girls is like having these conversations in advance. Like one day somebody's going to hurt your feelings. One day, you know, y'all are great friends, but y'all might grow apart a little bit in middle school, and it's okay. Like having these in advance. And it just, I don't know, I think it just helps them. It just eases the pain. And it's not to say that they can't come back together, but just knowing that that's really, I mean, adolescence is really the perfect time to help them grow in faith because everything in their life is changing. And this is the one thing that will never let them down. And just, you know, helping them say, you know, those lonely seasons, most girls go through a lonely season before college somewhere. I know very few girls, even the girls that you would think have no problems because moms tell me stuff because what I do, I'm like every level of the social totem pole, most of them have some lonely seasons somewhere, but God uses it all. And that's usually the season they grow the most in faith and they develop that faith, the depth in their faith that they're going to need for the future. So I think with girls, you know, I always heard that friendship can be very fluid. A mom told me that like in middle school, especially it can be very fluid and it can change from year to year. And it might not be anything that you did or that she did. It might be that you made cheerleader and she's playing volleyball and you're just hanging out with different friends or you're taking advanced classes and she's not. And so I just always tell my kids, you know, cast a wide net by being kind to everybody and just don't burn bridges. A lot of people burn bridges these days, but I'm like, don't burn bridges. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want you to have, you can have your closest friends, but have friends in other places too. Have your French class friends, have your gym class friends, have your debate club friends. And that way, when there are changes in that group and that idol of friendship lets you down, you know, one, you'll have your faith, but you'll also have other friends you can go to. And that's the mistake I see so many girls making is they just like their little group of four or five friends and they don't want anything to change. And then something changes and they're devastated. And a lot of times they don't have anywhere to go because they were kind of clicking exclusive to everybody else. And so nobody will let them in. But I'm like, if you have cast that wide net, if you have made friends at church and camp and wherever else, friends with your siblings, then you're always going to have somebody to turn to if those friendships let you down. But I think as moms, it's our job, you know, we got to be the stronger, calmer, and wiser one. And so just know that they're relying on us and they're looking to us for hope in those situations.
Yeah, that's a good point with the clicks and casting the wide net. Mm-hmm. That's really good. And I love the way you bring it back to faith. And the reminder that adolescence in these teen years is a good time to talk about faith. Because I think yes. that sometimes we feel as parents that our kids don't want to talk about it anymore. And that we really invest in our kids' faith in the little years. And then as they get to be teenagers, you know, they don't want to talk about it anymore. But yes. I love that it's that you have the reminder that like this is it. Like this is when their faith can really grow. Yes. And they need to take other things off of their idol pedestal and put Jesus on. So I appreciate that.
And another story too, and your listeners will probably appreciate this, but I thought about this, that when one of my daughters was in seventh grade, we had a friend staying with us for the weekend and her friend is just the most precious girl. I just love this girl. So empathetic, so kind. And they were telling me, they had this great little friend group and the friend was telling me, but there are some in the group that were not very kind. And I love what she said. She's like, you know, I kind of wanted to write them off. You know, she's like, part of me just did not want to be friends with them anymore. But what I did instead is I'd go home when they'd been mean and I would pray for them. And I thought, you know, I was like, how can I love you even anymore, this little seventh grade girl? But those are the kind of things that's the way how we guide our children. You know, like you can go to the bitter barn with your daughter and say, well, we're going to have a party and not invite her and go down that whole road and create more drama. Or you can take that path of life and trusting God and just praying for him to bring the right friends into your life, even if certain friendships didn't work out and just really trusting him. But, you know, we guide them as moms and our reaction is really going to shape their reaction.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that story. I think, first of all, she's very impressive. Like, I mean, we all need to be like her. Yes. But I think we really do need to be like her, where instead of our reaction, if our kids tell us that someone's been mean to them, our reaction can so easily be the bitter barn. But that's such a good reminder to model praying for those kids. Because she picked that up from somewhere.
Right. And
she probably picked it up from
her mom.
Yeah. Exactly. So we get that opportunity as parents. So I want to end our time together. Mm-hmm. What is your advice to parents of young girls, like parents who are just starting this adventure and they want to raise their daughter well and develop a good relationship and have her be kind? Like, what would your advice be to a young mom of a daughter?
You know, my advice is first is just to pray. I mean, really pray. And even sometimes before I have a hard conversation or something that I'm like, I'm not sure how this is going to go with my daughter. I pray. I'm like, God, give me the words. And I just trust that He loves them more than I do. So really just praying. And let's see, with little girls, there's so much. You know, I guess rooting them in faith, like I said, just really making them strong in their identity in Christ. And, you know, one thing I've been thinking about recently, and maybe it's because my kids are getting the age where they're going into the real world, but I honestly think as parents, and we almost, I'm parenting mine for their worst days. That's, I parent my daughters with the darkest days in mind, because I know, you know, they're going to face some hard things. And I just know something's coming at some point. And I just want them to be so rooted in God's truth, so certain of our love for them, whether something bad happens to them or they make a mistake, that we still love them. I think what parents really need to know with girls is that we are very good at heaping on the guilt and the shame. You know, even sometimes when somebody does something to a girl, even when it's not her fault, she'll blame herself. And so we just cannot tell them enough, or they worry about losing relationships. Like, they just need that stability from their parents. And so just really just, you know, filling her up with truth, helping her stand on God's truth, making her so certain that no mistake, no event is bigger than my love for you. You know, there's nothing you could do that can make me stop loving you. And I think our girls just cannot hear that enough, because that's not the message they're getting from the world. And that's why they need to be getting it at home.
Yeah, I think for all of our kids, but especially for our girls, we cannot give our love to them too much, right? Like, we cannot speak too much goodness and life and God's truth over who He created them to be enough to them. Like, they just really need that message. So thank you for that reminder. Thank you so much for being here today. I really adore you and I love this conversation. So thank you for your encouragement. Can you just let everyone know where they can connect with you and maybe a little about your books that they can go find too if they want some more resources?
Yes. Well, I have loved this, Stephanie. I love talking to younger moms because it takes me back in time. But thank you for this conversation. And yes, if anybody wants more of my resources, I'm probably the most active on Instagram and then Facebook. I have a writer page. And then I've written 4 books. Like I said, 2 for teen girls, 1 for moms of teen girls, and then 1 just for moms that released last April. And I'm actually about to sign for a few more books, and hopefully we'll have something new coming out for teen girls in the near future. And those books are available everywhere books are sold.
Fantastic. And I'll put links in the show notes that everyone can find all those things. Okay. So thank you so much again for joining me. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for listening. I just truly adore Carrie, and I look forward to having her back on the show soon so that we can continue our conversation. I'm going to leave this remembering to use the phrase, "Should you think it or say it?" with my kids. I really loved that. And I really loved how she shared that over time, her girls made that their own and said things like, "I'm going to think that, not say it." It's just a really good reminder that consistency and time will pay off with our kids, even though it might be hard in the moment. I'm going to link all of Carrie's books and social media in the show notes. So go connect with her for more lovely encouragement. And thank you for listening and have a wonderful week. May God bless you and your family. May you know that He is with you in your parenting, all the good moments and all the bad, and His desire is for you to be with Him. He will give you the strength that you need. You are His precious child, and He rejoices over you with singing. Thank you so much for listening to the Christian Parenting Podcast. If you haven't subscribed, you can do that now, and that way you won't miss an episode. You can connect with us on Instagram at christianparenting_org and see more resources at christianparenting.org. And if you're a mom raising daughters, we have the perfect course for you. Visit cpguides.org to learn more about our Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters online courses. And lastly, if you have enjoyed this podcast or other Christian parenting resources, please consider donating to this ministry. Visit christianparenting.org and click the donate button. Christian Parenting is 100% donor funded, and none of this would be possible without your help. We are so grateful for you. You're amazing. God bless you.